My name is Kimberly Webster. I am a person, a layperson here at the 635 service, and if I haven't met you or you don't know me. Normally it's Aaron and Lenora who are preaching here this evening, and I'm just agreed to share a message of something that's been on my heart. And it kind of fell in line with what we've been talking about since last Wednesday when Austin gave a message. And even Steve kind of echoed this on Sunday, if you were able to hear his sermon. Last week, Austin brought us to the conclusion of a sermon series called Standing in the Gap. He spoke about scripture that highlighted the differences between the sheep and the goats. Those who love their neighbors by visiting the sick, the imprisoned, feeding the poor, and then there were those that just walked on by. He also shared how we can experience both heaven and hell here on earth. Sometimes we are that person that needs someone to stand in the gap for us. This Sunday, Steve Price, our senior pastor here at Trinity, delivered a message about waiting for hope in the darkness. During the dark nights of our soul, Catherine reiterated how we waited 3 long days in darkness for our Savior to rise from the dead and to witness that he had conquered sin and death once and for all. I don't know if you've noticed, but things seem a little grim, and I think that's because our world is really hurting right now, and there's a lot of really tough news out there, and we're all going through, or at times, we've gone through some very dark places. Tonight, I wanted to back it up a bit and talk about what to do if you've fallen in the gap, a place between hope and hardship. This is a place where we might experience what Paul called a thorn, something we might desperately want removed and seemingly stuck with, no pun intended. Would you bow with me in prayer? Great and ever-present God, whose mercy is an unexpected miracle. In Jesus Christ, you offer your presence at all times and in all places and conditions. Yet we confess that so often we don't recognize you and your work that is in everything around us. Kindle in our hearts the desire to seek the warmth of your love and help our minds to search for the light of your word, despite our personal desert places. Fill us with new life and renewed hope that you promise us all in the power of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. The idea for the message that I present to you, which is called Seeking His Light in a Dark Place, actually was an inspiration from a book that I was reading this summer, and it's called 25 Questions God Asked. The book goes through 25 questions God asked, but in the preface, the author had actually taken it upon himself to go through the Bible and actually count every single question, and he came up with over 3,200 in the Bible, and almost 200 different people. Well, questions are a common thing, especially when we're going through and experiencing a trying, dark, or emotional time in our lives. We ask questions such as, why did our child have to pass away? Why did my wife get cancer? Why did he leave his wife? Why can't they break their addiction? Why did our friends have to lose their house? Or even general things like, why is there suffering in the world? Or why did this happen to them and not to me? Or to me and not to them? How long will I have to endure this, fill in the blank? When will I experience joy again? We tend to offer praise in the prosperous and good times, but we level questions to God when we're tested and we're in the midst of a trial. We see this illustrated in the account of Lazarus in the New Testament. The questions that arise in sorrow and pain. In John 11:33-37, and I'll just recap it, we read about Jesus reaching the town of Bethany in time to mourn the death of Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha. All three were very dear to him. And when Lazarus was dying, his sister sent word to Jesus to have him come and help. But he waited long enough to start his journey until he arrived when Lazarus had been dead for several days. When Jesus saw Mary weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how we loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" In other words, they said, "Why didn't he do something to stop this?" Martha and Mary applied the same when they said to Jesus, "If you had been here, he wouldn't have died." And we often wonder the same during our dark times. Why, Lord? Why? But there's an interesting clue in the book that I read that keeps us moving forward in the darkness toward the light again. Did you know that out of all the questions we level at God, there's one question God wished people had asked, but didn't? We find that in Jeremiah 2:6. They did not ask, "Where is the Lord who brought us up out of Egypt and led us through the barren wilderness, through a land of deserts and ravines, a land of drought and utter darkness, a land where no one travels and no one lives?" Did you catch that? They didn't ask where the Lord was. Imagine what our dark times might look like if we said, "Where are you, Lord?" And not so much, "Why?" In our trials, we often focus on the troubles at hand and we're overwhelmed. We're stumped, like in Mark 4, verse 38. We're in a boat with wind and waves threatening to drown us, and we cry out, "Don't you care we're going to drown?" Or maybe we think the Lord is far away and doesn't know our pain. We might be tempted to think so, especially when we don't immediately see him or feel his presence. Yet our God tells us and shows us over and over again, he is with us. He's beside us, even if we can't sense him there. And he's such a good and compassionate God. Did you know that Psalm 56:8 says, "You keep track of all my sorrows. You have collected all my tears in your bottle. You have recorded each one in your book." Did you catch in the earlier passage about Lazarus how Jesus wept? You don't weep unless you are deeply moved. And he is deeply moved for each one of us. He cares for you, so much so that he keeps trying to reassure us that we can trust him because he knows everything we're going through. Every trial, every tear, every hurt. I'm not saying we're not meant to ask why. Even King David, the man called a friend of God, asked why. It's okay to be real and ask what's on your heart. And yet, the Lord doesn't want you to remain there too long because bitterness and anger can start to take root. He wants to move us beyond this place by asking us to seek him out. Start with being real with the Lord. Ask those why questions. But then ask him to show where he is in your life. And there are a few ways of doing that, and that's what I'm going to talk about this evening. One is remember. By remembering, we remember how the Lord has worked at some time in our lives. Remember how he answered a prayer you had harbored in your heart, or a need you had, or opened a door that only he could. How something happened with perfect timing that had to be heavenly, like a check in the mail when the bills were piling up, or a phone call from someone you longed to hear from. Do you remember such a time as this? The children of Israel were called to remember God so they would build a foundation that would carry them through the hard times. Where there seemed to be silence or an unending sorrow, remembering would help them bolster each other's faith when hope seemed gone. Read any number of Psalms and you'll see David gets real with God by asking why questions, such as, why did the wicked prosper and those who are upright suffer? Well, the part of the Psalm 22 is actually in your bulletin, the first few verses. And it goes as follows. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? My God, I cry out by day, but you don't answer. By night, but I find no rest. Yet, you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the one Israel praises. In you, our ancestors put their trust. They trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cried out and were saved. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. We can see by the end of the psalm that he turns from the why to the where and starts remembering who the Lord is, seeking him out and being encouraged by this. If you're in the middle of the desert time for your own self, I encourage you to start with reading some of the psalms. They're very powerful. And they really echo the deep cries of our hearts. And yet, they all point to the one who's able to do what we can't, to carry us through the dark times. Secondly, read the word. So we have remember and read the word. Another way of seeking the Lord is by reading his word. In Jeremiah 29:13, he tells us, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." All scripture points to Jesus, a physical representation of the very heart of God. By reading scripture, divinely inspired to feed us and guide us through our journey in this life, we come to know the character of our Lord. We learn how compassionate he is, and through the death of Jesus, how he longs to bring us in a relationship with him so that we become faithful, loved, and nurtured by his Holy Spirit. And did you know that when you read scripture, you're actually building your faith? Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing." Does anyone know the rest of it? Absolutely, and hearing by the word of God. In biblical times, words were orally transmitted, and very little was written. We now have the written word of God to inform us rather than elders or leaders. So we build our faith when we read the words our ancestors left us. And we remember how the Lord's been with us in our past when we read scripture, and we are able to see Jesus and build our faith. And finally, so remember and read scripture, recognize him in the everyday. This helps us move towards the dawn as we look to him and for him in our everyday lives. Maybe you already recognize him in each day. Sometimes, though, we're in such a deep pit, we need to retrain our eyes to look up, to look for Jesus in the middle of the wind and the waves. How do you recognize them in the everyday? Think about a God wink that happened to you today. You may be saying, okay, what's a God wink? Something someone would call a coincidence, an answered prayer, or simply an experience where you'd say, wow, what are the odds of that? It's a message of reassurance from above, directly to you, out of almost 8 billion people on the planet, saying, hey, Kimberly, I'm thinking of you. Keep the faith. You're not alone. You're never alone. We see him in the people around us. We see him in nature. We see him in our hearts. He's there whispering in the kind smile of a child, dancing in your hair in the breeze in a hot day, painting the colors of hope in the sunrise and sunset. All of these are God wings. And I see you, and ultimately, and I love you. One final note. As we look for the Lord, eventually we'll be filled with eyes of love for the Lord and not so focused on our wives anymore. Like David, we'll be able to move from our questions, well, to the hard questions, to a question that'll guide us in dark times. Where are you, Lord? We can seek him first by being real, which is what David did. He started where he was, and then remembering how he's been working in our lives. He may not see it right now, but something he did in the past. Maybe even in the lives of the saints before us, even if you can't think of something. Reading scripture that builds your faith and helps us focus on the author and perfecter of our faith, Jesus. And finally, by recognizing him in the everyday, may we all see how he loves us in the midst of our deserts. As we move to our offering time, I'd like to encourage you to read the words written in your bulletin. Mary Bird's going to play an instrumental version of a song called The Prayer. Some of you may know that song. Think about it. Those words, meditate on them. And think about what stood out in your own heart this evening, ultimately meditating on the one who loves us.